Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolecast. Bud, as we enter into our third installment of the season preview podcast series broken down by position groups, we will go ahead and take a look at the defensive line as a whole. We'll merge and melt the ends and tackles together. A unit that, if you're optimistic about Florida State's defense, your optimism really has to start with what you bring back in the starting four and really the depth that you find behind those guys. So, Bud, excited about tonight's conversation and excited to throw the question out there. Is Florida State's defensive line unit as a whole the best group in college football?
Ingram, I think I'm going to make FSU fans very excited here by saying it can be. Now, I don't know if preseason I would say that it is, but let me say this. This is certainly a team that has national title aspirations. Can you think of a team that won a national title in recent memory that did not have a dominant defensive line? I cannot. I mean, just going back through my head, Alabama, check. Yeah, pretty obviously.
Permacheck.
Yeah, Permacheck. And last year's especially, they had backups who would start for a lot of teams, including some of their backups I think would have started for FSU last year. That's just how good that unit was. Ohio State, check. Florida State, check. Alabama, check. Alabama again, yeah. Permacheck. Auburn, another Permacheck for the Bama one in 09. Florida's 08 defensive line was really nasty. LSU 2007, obvious. Florida 2006, the same. Texas in 05 had a pretty good defensive line. Anyway, for at least a decade, and certainly prior to that as well, if you want to win a national championship, you have to have different difference makers on the defensive line. It's just the true recruiting position that separates the haves and the have-nots. A lot of different teams can get elite running backs and elite corners and receivers and all this stuff, but God just doesn't make a whole lot of these elite defensive linemen body types who are that big and can move with that explosiveness. And it's a scarce resource. Luckily, Florida State has an abundance of that resource. So to answer your question, yeah, I think that it has the potential to be the best defensive line in the country. Now, I don't know if I'd have it there yet. Certainly, other schools would put up a fight, and those would include Alabama, obviously Tennessee, Texas A&M. I know Ole Miss fans love their defensive line as well this year. I guess we'll see about that. But I believe it's going to be in the conversation, to say the least.
Clemson's not the best in the country, but that is not a unit that has to take a back seat to many people. I mean, anytime you've got a Christian Wilkins, that's just an exceptional player, as talented as anybody in the league. You've got the Austin Bryant kid out of Thomas County. Dexter Lawrence, the massive five-star prospect.
Just Clemson's their spring practice, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, apparently he was so good on scout team that they had to pull him off at times when they were practicing for the national title game.
Pagano is a pretty good player as well. Clemson in general's roster is pretty impressive, but defensive line in particular got to point them out in all fairness.
I mean, Wilkins, Watkins, Lawrence, I don't think that you will find a better trio of 300-pounders in terms of talent in the entire country. But, no. You know, and I like Austin Bryant too. Is he on that DeMarcus Walker level yet? I don't know. I don't know who's their other end going to be. Clemson is certainly loaded, and I think you were right to include them in that group, and I should have.
Turn our focus back to Tallahassee. DeMarcus Walker, kid who decides to come back for his fourth year, an incredibly influential player in the locker room as far as what type of leadership he brings, but also just a damn solid, college defensive end, and definitely the point where we should probably start this talk about what the starting four looks like anyway.
15 and a half tackles for loss, 10 and a half sacks, 5 pass breakups or passes batted, 4 forced fumbles, 42 tackles, and yet he comes back to school? In the larger conversation, it may just be that DeMarcus Walker is one of these players who's much better as a college player than he is as a pro prospect because he doesn't have super elite level burst, and he doesn't have elite level length, and he's kind of a tweener type. You know, he's 6'3", 280. He doesn't have, you see what I'm saying? He doesn't look like a prototypical NFL defensive end. But Florida State fans don't need to care about that, because he's really, really damn good in college, man.
Yeah, Florida State's games are still on Saturday.
Yeah, and yeah, Florida State plays on Saturday. So, look, I'm sure DeMarcus will get drafted, probably not get as drafted as high as he wants to. I was writing the preview for Tomahawk Nation, and my thought was, where can this guy really get that much better? There's not like an obvious area. Maybe develop a few more pass rush moves. Maybe if he can work on being even more explosive. But he kind of is what he is. And what he is a really damn fine football player. An all-ACC level player. Going to be in contention for All-America honors. And incredibly productive at the college level. And you're right. Is one of the vocal leaders on a team that maybe has a lot of guys that lead by example, but not a whole lot of upperclassmen who are also strong vocal leaders. I mean, he is a phenomenal football player, and one that I think Florida State fans appreciate and love, and yet next year his loss is certainly going to be felt, because he is really, really damn good.
Definitely. He definitely embraces that role as well. I don't mean to get a sidetracked here, but I took it's my senior year, a course on leadership, blah, blah, blah. A guy that was really impressive in the military and somebody that would be qualified to teach something like that. But what it was is basically we would have to read two books every 10 days and then talk about them. Twice during like the interview, the media availability, I noticed that he reads the same books that I was assigned in that class. He carries the stuff around with him, and it's very much a role that he tries to embrace and tries to be as much of a positive force and a positive impact guy as he can be. So impressive individual, and somebody that may not project perfectly to the program, but a guy that's real easy to cheer for and really easy to appreciate what he's become in this program. And another guy, if you're looking for one final glimpse back or link back to that 2013 team.
And Ingram, I would posit that while Walker is your best defensive lineman, I'm not sure he's the most talented. And if Florida State is going to be known as the best defensive line in the country, I'm not sure that he is the guy that needs to end the year as the best defensive lineman. And the guy that I'm talking about is Josh Sweat. Let's go back to August of 2014. Josh Sweat is the number one player in the country. He's just dominated out there at the opening. He is coming off a fantastic 2013 junior season in Virginia. 6'5", 230. Really the closest thing that us recruit Knicks had seen to Jadeveon Clowney since Jadeveon Clowney came out. And every year it seems like they wanted to put the next Clowney tag on a kid. But he actually kind of fit the bill with that long, lean frame. Even had the very similar hair. Great burst. Then he wrecks his knee and tears multiple knee ligaments after playing only two games in September of that season, and doesn't end up as the number one recruit in the country, justified in my opinion. It's very hard to put a tag like that on a guy coming off such a serious knee injury. Jimbo Fisher doesn't expect him to play. The staff doesn't expect him to play. And a funny thing happens. He just keeps flying through his rehab at ridiculous and unprecedented rate, right? Like, mm-hmm. Just insane. You would expect, okay, he's going to have a setback here, a setback here. This is a typical setback and at this stage. And no, he just powered through the entire thing and gets on the field, I think, in the first game of the year, right? I mean, that was remarkable. I know Jimbo Fisher at ESPN's recent car wash thing said, there was no way I expected him to play. And he just kept getting better. And had a very strong true freshman season for a guy who didn't really get to go through much of the offseason program. He was very good against the run, with probably the limited exception that he sometimes lost gap control, especially on read plays, and was kind of taken advantage of there. And yet, you're kind of left with this feeling that there is so much more that could be brought out of Josh Sweat, man. I mean, we didn't see the elite-level pass rush. We didn't see the elite level burst. And part of me is really excited to see if that comes back. Because if that does, you're looking at a guy who could be, who could become, maybe not this year, maybe this is 2017, who knows. I'm kind of done underestimating Josh Sweat's timetable. He could become the best player, best defensive end in the country. Another part of me, though, is scared that what if that element of his game never comes back? And if that's the case, then what you have is a guy who's going to continue to gain experience in the defense, going to continue to gain strength, and become a better player. He's now up to 6'5", 250 pounds, and he's going to become a really good defensive end. But if he gets that burst back, you're looking at a guy who's going to have potential to be the best defensive end in the country. And if DeMarcus Walker is the second best defensive end on your team, then you probably have the best defensive end pair in the nation.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, if at any time during the course of this season we can honestly ask that question and answer it in that way, I would have a hard time seeing a better unit. Obviously, that's predicated on Walker maintaining his high level of play, but that's you know, DeMarcus Walker being consistent is one of the easiest things to bet on and to really be able to bank on coming into this year. So you're right, Sweat is up to 250 pounds. That looks like a very legitimate number. If he's able to have any type of the burst comeback, then you're looking at a really, really dynamic player and a guy that is heady and consistent and is incredible as far as what you get on one side of the line in Walker. And then if you have a really explosive, unique player on the other side, then you set yourself up as well as anybody in the country. And nobody is going to be able to take advantage of that more than your two inside guys. So why don't we go ahead and move our conversation to the interior and start with Christmas, bud.
Yeah, so the question we're trying to answer is, can Florida State's defensive line be the best? If we were to talk about every single defensive line in this roster, that would take, I think there's, 16 scholarship D linemen this year? That's quite a bit. But it does start up front in the middle with DeMarcus Christmas. Because in many ways, kind of like the whole Walker-Josh Sweat discussion, we have a rock in Derek Nnadi, who is an excellent sophomore nose guard last year. 31 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, routinely ate up double teams, controlled his gap, controlled line of scrimmage. And you have a guy in DeMarcus Christmas who, you know, played some last year. Wasn't a starter full-time or anything like that, but showed some flashes. This is a player in DeMarcus Christmas who is a is he a sophomore or a junior?
I want to say Christmas is a sophomore, isn't he?
Did he redshirt? Because wasn't he in the same class as Nnadi?
That may be right. I've got him listed as a sophomore in everything I have.
Christmas is a guy who Jimbo Fisher labeled as the number one defensive tackle in the country back a couple of years ago when he was going on a bit of a rant or a lecture about recruiting rankings and how Christmas didn't go to a lot of these recruit camps, so he perhaps wasn't rated quite as highly as he could have been. If Nnadi is there eating up double teams, then Christmas is the guy who can play more of that three-tech role and do the Eddie Goldman stuff. You know, like if we're going to make the comparison to 2013, and I'm not sure that these guys are quite as talented as that group was, then Nnadi is your Timmy Jernigan, and Christmas is your Eddie Goldman. Now, I don't think Christmas is as talented as Eddie Goldman was. I think Goldman was extremely talented and perhaps even underappreciated at times at Florida State. See also the 2014 Clemson game when he actually gave a damn and basically took the game over and won it for FSU there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, see that game.
Yeah, yeah, watch that. But Christmas has the ability and the quickness, I believe, to be a good penetrating three technique with length and really to give offenses problems. We just talked about DeMarcus Walker and Josh Sweat. We kind of glossed over Derek Nnadi, which I feel like is a crime, and so we're going to talk about him for a minute. Great balance, great hand strength, just a super strong dude in the middle, 6'1", 312, really immovable at times by many teams. You didn't see very many teams be able to root him out, allowing linebackers in what was kind of a subpar linebacker group last year to largely run free behind him quite often. Ingram, who are you going to double team? in this, because you can double one guy, you can maybe double two. We talked about four guys. Two of them are going to have single blocks.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of these situations, that's going to be really interesting to see how teams try to attack this front. And if they end up doubling DeMarcus Walker, as I think they probably will, Josh Sweat might have the ability to make them pay in a very big way on the other side. If they end up doubling Naughty, maybe we'll see Christmas knifing into the backfield and make some tackles for loss.
If doubles are going to be assigned, at least at the beginning of the year, I think that's where you'll see them. Like if Ole Miss is looking at tape and looking at past production, then Naughty would get it before Christmas would. In a way, that almost plays into a strength for Florida State if Christmas makes the jump that you think he might be able to, because he has as much potential to be disruptive as anybody. And you're right, we are kind of glossing over Naughty or not giving him the credit that he deserves. He's another piece of a incredibly fortuitous Mid-Atlantic pipeline to Florida State over the past couple of years, and particularly been fond of giving Florida State really high-level defensive players, and Naughty out of Virginia Beach and Sweat out of Chesapeake, Virginia, are just the two latest examples of that. But Naughty is as good as you could hope for him to be, a guy who's made the most of his talent. And I'm using all types of phrases that really sound like he's just some kind of try-hard role player. He's not by any means. He can be a real difference maker, and he can be one of the better defensive tackles in this conference.
What you're saying is that he is a really strong player and a strong tactician, but he's not flashy, right? He's not going to make big-time splash plays in the pass rush game. He's not the most incredible athlete in the world. He's just really good at what he does, and nose guard is kind of a thankless position anyhow. So, Ingram, I think we've covered the two elements so far that need to happen for Florida State to have the best defensive line in the country. But the third element to me is equally as important, and that's that it needs to develop some guys who are reliable behind the four that we just mentioned. Because even if they could stay healthy the entire year, which is probably unlikely, you don't want them. You don't want all these guys playing thousands of snaps. To me, you need to have two defensive ends reserves that you can count on, and you need to have two guys on the interior that you can count on to have a true two deep across all four spots. And there are a couple guys I've identified here who I think can help you out here. Jacob Pugh is most likely going to be backing up Josh Sweat at that sort of buck linebacker position, which is the hybrid outside linebacker / defensive end spot. He really wasn't that great as a sophomore. I was expecting him to have a bigger campaign. At times, he looked like he wasn't fully healthy, but I don't think Florida State ever announced an actual injury with Pugh. But I think he's going to have a better year this year. People inside the program seem to speak highly of him. We'll see what happens there. But if he's your backup defensive end on the weak side, I feel pretty good about that. He also plays the will when Florida State goes into its 3-4, where Sweat shifts over and plays the Sam, and Walker kicks inside to play one of the more true DN spots in the 34 defense, which Florida State only runs maybe 15% of the time because it very rarely faces any two-back offenses anymore. The notable exception being Florida when they do that, and probably Miami some under Mark Richt. I know that Georgia still like to run the I formation there when Richt was at UGA. So you got Pugh, who I think we can count on. On the interior, Fred Jones continues to exceed all the expectations I ever had for him, having watched him in high school and came away very unimpressed. But he has played a very capable backup nose guard role to Naughty last year, and I think he'll only be better. That's a really nice reserve at each spot, but it's not enough. The next guy I want to talk about, I'm really intrigued by, Ingram, and I think you know where I'm going with this.
Olvinsky.
Olvinsky Iam is a junior college defensive lineman. Florida State beat out a number of top schools for, most notably down the stretch. Alabama came hard for this kid, and Florida State managed to hold on to his signature. He's a redshirt sophomore, so he has 3 years to play three. Played 1 year at JUCO and took 1 year of redshirt in JUCO. Now, he's 6'4", 295. Normally, that would scream defensive tackle. However, I really believe Iam could be a guy who is a swing player, right? He may play a couple hundred snaps inside and a couple hundred snaps outside. The athleticism that he showed in the spring game was very impressive and something that I think Florida State's coaches are certainly aware of. If he can be Walker's backup on the outside at 295 pounds and spell him for maybe, I don't know, 20 snaps in a 75-snap game and maybe give you 20 snaps on the inside, that's basically, you know, that's essentially a little bit more than half of starters' reps, and yet he's playing two different spots. Mm-hmm. I think he's very capable of playing that five tech when they do go to that 34 defense. He, as a third backup, who's really kind of the number one backup at two different spots, could play some three tech, could back up Walker, could do both. I think that's extremely encouraging to have him as a player on this team.
If he's absorbed in two different places as backups, then that does make me feel a lot better. Because wherever, if you just peg him in any place in on the defensive depth chart, wherever you don't place him, I have a little bit of concern as to who's getting your second reps there, if that makes sense.
No, I think it makes perfect sense. Now, luckily, my idea works a lot better if he's back, if he's playing a reserve role to keep guys fresh, as opposed to having to come in and play full-time starters minutes because somebody's gone down with an injury.
Definitely.
Now, if that happens, you're going to need to have another backup on the outside, another backup on the inside. Your candidates for backups on the outside vary depending on the position. Keith Bryant actually got some praise this spring, Ingram, during the offseason mat drill stuff for actually working hard, which had been an issue for him, like commitment, focus, motivation, work ethic. Yeah, a real big issue. Now he's a junior. He finally starts working hard, starts being dedicated, had dropped some bad weight, had dropped enough bad weight, actually, they had moved him to defensive end. And then he breaks a bone in his foot and has to miss the spring game. Jimbo Fisher has continued to praise him and said it's the best offseason he's ever had. Now, I'm a little bit reluctant to buy it on Keith Bryant because he has been an absolute zero so far in his time at Florida State. I think he had like 3.5 tackles last year or something. That's not a whole lot. Maybe he didn't even. I don't know. I'll check on that later. Anyhow, if he is able to play defensive end and back up DeMarcus Walker at 274 pounds, that's a very valuable piece as a reserve to this defense. On the other hand, if he can't, then you're looking at guys probably more your young guys. You know, can Adam Torres as a defensive lineman, you know, he's 6'4", 281. Can he be a guy to back up Walker there on the edge? I'm not convinced of that. At 281, not everybody is equally athletic at 281. Walker can play the edge at 280. I'm not sure if Torres can. He may be more of an inside five-tech type guy. Then you're looking at somebody like a Janarius Robinson, who I think has all the talent in the world, but is still extremely raw and undeveloped and had shoulder surgery, so he ended up missing spring, which sucks for him, but I'm still very high on him long-term at that defensive end spot. On the other side, more of your edge rusher, weak side guy, I think Brian Burns is not going to redshirt. You're 6'5", 220-pound, four-star out of American Heritage High School. Burns has that rare pass rusher burst, speed off the edge thing. Now, at 220 pounds, he cannot play non-passing downs effectively. He is going to get run over in the run game more often than not and would be a liability. But if you can use him in some sub packages and some pass rush stuff, that's great. I think that's a really good thing right there. On the inside, I think it's easier to find somebody, man. I mean, discounting Justin Shanks because he's never done anything here so far. Can Torres, who I just mentioned, give you some snaps? I don't know. But if you have Ime and you have Arthur Williams, who got in and played some last year, was not very good sometimes, was okay at other times. You have Cedric Wood, who actually early enrolled, the four-star there out of Godby High School, a local kid. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about a dude who has made a great transition into the offseason program in the weight room? I'm fired
Significant
up.
Significant change just in a couple months on campus.
6'3", 321, and not fat. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least by defensive lineman standards. Dude, he looks like a totally different guy. I was watching and I was like, who the hell is this, Timmy Jernigan? It was impressive. To see him physically out there. And then also Darvin Taylor, who got hurt last year, just working his way back, a four-star they signed out of Virginia. He's a redshirt freshman. I'm more confident in the reserves on the inside of the defense than I am on the outside. But that's the third key piece. Can Sweat play to his potential? And I don't want to make that sound like he has not lived up to his potential, because so far I think he's actually exceeded expectations relative to his injury history. Can DeMarcus Christmas take the next step and be a good starter in his first year as a starter? And then can Florida State find some good depth pieces and stay healthy? If those three things happen, you could be looking at the best defensive line in the country in 2016.
You could. And I like the way that we've gone about this and laid this out and haven't been too fanboy about it. And hopefully people appreciate the information that we've been able to give. But I will not be able to get out of any position group preview, at least not one on the defensive side of the ball, where I don't ask you how Derwin James would factor into your plans when it comes to the defensive line.
Well, I know Florida's right tackle, hopefully.
Yes.
Hopes to not see him anymore.
He was a senior, so you don't have to worry about that, which makes it all the more embarrassing. But, I think he was actually a redshirt senior, a guy who transferred, but whatever. Still a redshirt senior who got thrown on his ass by a freshman safety.
How amazing is it that Derwin James is actually a pretty good pass rusher as a true freshman safety?
I forgot his hit rate, but his percentage of disruptive plays as a lined up defensive end, not as some kind of disguised time blitzing package or anything like that, but as almost an acknowledged pass rusher, I think was in the mid to high 60s or something like that. Is the biggest freak of a player, and really this is the biggest aspect of his game that you can highlight that, because you just don't see 218 pound kids as a freshman pick up and throw offensive linemen on their ass, and you did see that last year with him. So can't think of too many members of the secondary where you would ask as far as how they could be used potentially in the pass rush, but it's a legitimate question and one that I wanted to ask, because when you've got somebody like James and you've got his skill set, I don't think there's any way that they don't at least at times try to take advantage of it.
Oh, he's absolutely going to continue to play defensive end at times. Now, I do think, though, that this year, because the talent level is increased on the defensive line, because, in my opinion, the experience is up as well. Think about who you lost on last year's defensive line and last year's preview, who we were talking about, right? Was FSU going to get anything out of Giorgio Newberry? Would they get anything out of Rick Leonard? Could Derek Mitchell stay healthy? The answer turned out to be no. Could Nile Lawrence Stample stay healthy? Actually, yeah, for part of the time, because he missed 2014 or a good portion of it with that torn pectoral muscle, if you recall.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those guys were truly impact guys, though, as far as rushing the passer? Very few, right? They weren't explosive-type players like we think Sweat and Christmas may be able to be. If we're right about this, and I'm not saying that we're projecting this to happen 100%, but if those guys are able to get more in a pass rush, Florida State's going to be in an extremely unique position because they have a bunch of length in the back end with Marcus White and Tavares McFadden and Marcus Lewis and Derwin James and both your linebackers who are 6'2 and 6'3 and have good length. If they can get a pass rush with the front four, they're going to be able to play very effective zone defense with a lot of length and get some tip balls and get some more interceptions. Now, Tampa Bay Bucks fans can think about this back from when they won the Super Bowl more than a decade ago. I believe that Brad Lawing, defensive ends coach, is going to have more input this year on the overall pass rush plan and having the whole defensive line, along with Odell Higgins. I believe they're going to work better as a unit in terms of getting guys freed up as unblocked rushers and in terms of getting your best pass rushers isolated on probably the weak link of the opposing defense. This is something Brad Lawing did a very good job of at the University of Florida when he had Dante Fowler and those guys, and also a decent bit at South Carolina when he had Jadeveon Clowney. We didn't see it quite as much in year one at Florida State, but I do believe in year two, this could happen some more. I think we're going to see a little bit more one gap out of this defense because of the penetrating ability that this front has, and a little bit less two gap than it played at times last year, although I think a Jimbo Fisher defense, a guy who has gone against Nick Saban so many years in practice back when they were at LSU, I don't think Jimbo Fisher will ever want his defensive coordinator to give up on the idea of being able to play, you know, multiple gap front defense. But I think you could see a little more one gap this year, a little more penetrating attacking style, and that could certainly be fun for fans at home as long as they're able to maintain their rush lane integrity, particularly against all the great mobile quarterbacks you're going to see, like Lamar Jackson, Chad Kelly, Deshaun Watson, if the Trubisky kid for North Carolina can run, et cetera, et cetera. But on obvious pass rushing downs, I do think you could see a better pass rush out of the front four this year after a year that was already kind of revived in the pass rushing game.
Absolutely. It'd be interesting to see how that happens, how it evolves. But it's great to be able to be in a place where you can legitimately ask the question that this whole podcast has been based around, and that is, will Florida State or does Florida State have a chance to have the best defensive line unit in the country? And it's something that that we can come into season and have a legitimate conversation about. So hopefully people have enjoyed this. Hopefully people feel like they have a better idea as to exactly the pieces and parts that will make up Florida State's defensive line. And Bud, as always, appreciate when people share this socially as they feel appropriate, and want to thank the listeners again for what they've made possible and what we've been able to do with this podcast.
And Ingram, I'm going to ask for a quick little listener feedback here, and I'd also like to get your opinion on this. Last year, the defensive line, by my count, had 22 and a half sacks. Do you think that they will have over or under that number this year? The competition certainly gets harder, but the talent level might also have been increased on Florida State's side.
Yeah, I could see them having more than that, to be honest with you. I would be almost surprised if they didn't. Harder competition, yes, but so many people on that line in their kind of money year, and I think it's a number that you could see. I would expect that to be maybe somewhere around 26, 27 by year end.
Perfect. I think I was going to say the same thing. As always, we'd like to hear your feedback. If you listen to this and you don't yet follow us on Twitter at Nolcast, which I know a lot of you don't because, our listenership is well over a multiple of 10 based on how many Twitter followers we have. So make sure to follow us on Twitter. Give us your feedback. Tell us how many sacks you think this defensive line group will have. And until the next episode, we certainly appreciate you listening to the Nolcast Florida State Football 2016 Season Preview. Tell your friends, rate and review us on iTunes. Have a good one. Christmas, wet 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 Christmas.